POS Systems, how can you get the most out of yours? Welcome to Tell Me Something Good About Retail, the podcast of The Retail Doctor, and I'm your host, Bob Phibbs. In this episode, I'm talking to Danielle Ewart, Senior Director of Onboarding and Training for Springboard Retail POS. We talked about her experiences in boutiques, her tips on how to get the most out of your POS, and the positivity of retailers. Let's go. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here, Bob.
I am thrilled to have you here today. We are in the midst of trying to figure out what's happening with the virus. We're recording this in about the middle of March. But I just wanted to get started since you are a person who does onboarding, and we were just sharing a story about what's going on at your daycare. Could you share that with
us? Yes, absolutely. Of course, our daycares are taking. I'm in Massachusetts, so I'm in Cambridge specifically. So, you know, wedged between two large universities, MIT and Harvard, who have closed up shop. So, for a very big kind of bustling area, we're in a little bit of a ghost town right now. But our daycares are still going strong, and they're taking some pretty wonderful and funny precautions. One being teaching kids how to wash their hands properly via really fun songs. They're bringing in guitarists and doing hand washing songs in the classroom, which has been pretty funny. They send us videos and pictures of them, of course, during the workday, so we can feel like we're participating. And my daughter is a rambunctious 17-month-old and not potty trained and, you know, walking around, of course, but barely speaking. And she can properly wash her hands because of the precautions that daycare is taking. So she knows, you know, wash for a good amount of time. She knows how to lather. She goes for the right towel to dry her hands. It's kind of incredible.
See, I think that's what I take from this is that we're going to teach millions of people finally that society's health starts with personal health. And I could tell you, I'm 62 years old and learning how to wash your hands. I can't think of the only thing I think about washing my hands was my Uncle Ray. So I'll tell you this quick story. So we were camp, you know, my dad's brothers and sisters would get together and we would all do a family camp back in the 60s for, you know, a week. And I'll never forget the day I was in the bathroom and I'm washing my hands with cold water. And my uncle says, you know, you should use hot water. You turn on the hot. I was like, oh, I mean, no one had ever said any of that to me. So I think those blind spots are informing some of the ways people think about things like hand washing now, like, oh, well, I never did it. Well, that doesn't mean it was right.
Probably not a good thing that you didn't do that.
Right. So I wanted to speak to you today because you are head of onboarding and training, which means we are alike in many ways. So what kind of things do you... how do you interface with retailers?
So we're a point of sale and inventory management system, and we do everything remotely. So when we're interfacing, like right now, you and I are screen sharing, where we can see each other, we're speaking over our computers. This is exactly how I work with my clients. We work through Zoom, and we share computer screens, and our team walks them through their accounts. Best practices, and we teach them hands-on how to use our system and how to onboard in a way that will benefit their business. And it's nice because when we do screen share, we'll often have them drive. So they're doing the clicking because it's better for them, for their muscle memory. So we're walking them through, but they're doing because most people, you learn by doing.
Well, see, that's what I am so thrilled to speak to you about because I consider myself a pretty good trainer. And I think there's a certain mindset to training you either have or don't have, right? You either get like, oh, it's cause and effect. And going back to the simple thing of your daughter, it's 17 months. We've made it fun, right? We didn't say, okay, now kids, we've got to all learn. We're all going to die. Oh, great. Thanks for that. Yeah. My 17-month-old is loving this idea. And you mix it up. But also, you have to repeat it, right? They didn't just come in and say, we're going to wash our hands 20 seconds. And I would think that would really be important in your case, because with POS systems, let's be honest, they scare the crap out of most retailers, don't they? Because they can do so many reports and, you know, and when the guy sells it or gal sells it, it's, yeah, I can do this and this and this and this. And you're like, can I just figure out what my average sale is? And so how do you overcome that maybe bias, mm-hmm. right? It's too much for me. What are some techniques? Because I think it has applications on the front line as well, right? That we have to really understand learning. So what tips could you give us about what you've learned, for example?
Well, going back to the doing, I think first you have to just do it calmly, because retailers, there are no busier people in the world than retailers. And, you know, the last thing people want to do is spend their time, you know, configuring their data from a previous system to a new system. Oh, I think that's daunting. Brutal. And if you decide to do the data work yourself, like, you better be pretty Excel savvy, because it's so much work, and the data cleanup, it's literally the last thing that retailers want to do. So
wait, so let's interrupt that for a second. So why do they do that? To save money.
Yeah. Right?
Let's be honest. And you don't realize, I wrote my book, The Retail Doc's Guide to Growing Your Business. Same thing. So we get done to the publisher. They're all set. Now we need to index the book. It'll cost you another $2,000. Do you want to do it? Want us to do it? Oh, I'll do it. Oh my God.
It's a commitment.
You know, by like the end of the first week, I'm pulling my hands. I was like, I cannot give you enough money to get this off my hands. And ultimately, it's done better. And I would think that's the same for you. So that, how do you get people to understand just what that workload might look like, right? I mean,
that thankfully that's handled pretty well in the sales process. What's cool is we have a lot of our sales team actually comes from our support team, and we've all kind of like grown up through the ranks there. So they have a great understanding of the system, how much work is actually involved. And one of the things that's really, I think, so powerful about our teams in general is we almost all come from extensive retail backgrounds. We are all either boutique managers, or we were buyers. We were inventory managers. We were merchandise managers. So everybody comes from this really kind of core understanding of, like, you don't have time to do this, so let a professional do this. And like, do you really want to be like concatenating in Excel when you should be on your sales floor? That's like, it's just not the most wonderful use of your time. So that perspective helps on that front for sure. Now there are some.
And having that calm, I didn't mean to interrupt, that calm about it, because you're aware that this is so. Well, it's scary, right? Isn't it? It's scary that I might do something wrong.
Exactly.
And you're kind of that voice of saying, we'll do it together, which I think is really important in training.
It is.
It's together,
it
right?
It is together. And, you know, there's plenty of resources that we utilize. We use webinars. Everybody does learn differently. Some people prefer to kind of listen and watch and learn late at night in bed. Fine. So we have resources, we have articles, we have kind of how-tos and plenty of videos to watch. But the one-on-one sessions, I think, are by far the most powerful, because then like I get to learn about like you as a retailer and what, like why you bought the product. Why did you choose to change? Is it because you lacked reporting and your buying reports aren't up to par? You know, are you managing inventory across three different stores and you can't allocate your merchandise properly? Like, what are your pain points so we can take that time and kind of cover that together, since that's why you changed?
I'll bet most people would say yes, right? It's like, yes, that's what I'm looking for, is information. And that's, you know, the other thing with POS systems, you know, for me, and I'm dated because I haven't purchased POS systems probably in 10 years for anybody. But my whole thing was, set up the best reports and have them come to you. Don't get stuck in the idea you have to go looking for them. Would that be your advice in a system in 2020?
Yes, I think you should have kind of core reports that you rely on, and that you know those metrics are how you're moving your business. But the way our reporting features work, it's incredibly robust. You can, and it's really, really
Give
flexible.
Me an example.
So we have just lists of groups and metrics so that you can create if there's a very specific situation that you need to report on at this very moment in time, you're seeing this really unusual dip in the sell of, you know, bottoms, and you need to run a department report on bottoms by location, by color. Maybe not a report you're going to need all the time, but you're seeing this really unusual trend in a product that you typically did really well in. You can run that type of report on the spot. So yes, have your core saved reports that are going to help you kind of buy and run your business and make high level decisions. But our reporting feature is built on what you need at this very moment in time. And teaching people by like touch, like we're literally giving people fake sandbox accounts that mirror their account so they could play with these things prior to going live on the system. Because you need to play.
Another part to training. They got to meet with success, yep. Right? Practice before you go live. That's my thing. You know, I teach retail sales training and I want you to practice on other people before you're doing it with my customers, which are really going to cost me money.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's how you master these tools, because they're simple, but retail and business in general is complex. So especially if you're coming off of a legacy system you've been on for like 30 years, the reconditioning to get onto a new system is so wild just because buttons look different, even if it functions similarly.
Right. And so what, tell us a little bit about your background of being in boutiques and fashion education. What kind of things have you done before that brought you to Springboard?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Chicago gal and I went to Columbia College Chicago for fashion business. I'm not fully knowing. There's a lot of merchandising going on there, not knowing exactly where I wanted to land in the retail industry, but knew that was the industry from a very young age, kind of funny enough. I think some people are just born with it and you're born with it and you're stuck in it forever.
I agree.
It's a good thing. I helped manage and run a wonderful clothing boutique back home in West Chicago for 8-9 years. It was an incredible experience.
Okay, stop. What kind of POS system do they have? You don't have to say the brand, but so was it a full-featured?
We were pen and paper. We were pen and paper.
Was this back in 1950? When was this?
Consider myself on the young side, but definitely not back in 1950.
That might have been insulting. Sorry, it wasn't ageist. No,
not at all. No, it was a store that was really well established in another region, and they moved back to the Chicago area, and it had worked that way for ages, and it worked. It was a very kind of intimate, very high end boutique, so it was a very kind of, again, a very intimate experience with the customer. So pen and paper suited the feel of the store.
And I imagine with all of you, you were also really cognizant of what was selling and what wasn't. See, I think that having that direct interaction with customers, you can't duplicate, right? I mean, that's the whole point. You get a full-featured system like Springboard Retail POS so that you can dive into those numbers, because most likely in 2020, you're going to be farther removed from the situation than when you might have started. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's also just much harder to come up with concrete, like you intuitively know this type of earring is not doing as well as it did last season, and I'm not entirely sure why. So as a retailer and as a good retailer, you have that intuition. You're working with the customers, your pen and paper, you know what's not working, but you can't pull the exact numbers. So when you are going to buy, there's still this margin of error that you can't back up with numbers. And I think as wonderfully intuitive as most retailers and buyers are, there's still something really powerful about having numbers to back up what you know is happening in your business so that you can act on it more confidently.
Absolutely. I think that is the key. And, you know, the margin of error these days for making a bad buy is a lot narrower than it ever was,
yes.
Right? Because now you know that someone else online has it cheaper or more available or a million other things. And data is really the thing that determines everything. We'll explore more in just a bit. But first, a quick word about Springboard Retail POS. This season is sponsored by Springboard Retail POS. You know, one of the biggest challenges I hear from listeners, and whether they're selling from a store, from trunk shows, pop-ups, or just online, is that they want great, easy-to-use data. On top of that, they want customizable reporting. Well, that's where Springboard Retail comes in. Their best-in-class reporting helps you run a best-in-class retail operation, higher sales, higher margins, and faster sell-through. Springboard Retail's customer success team will help you get all of your historical data into Springboard and get you up and running in a flash with a one-on-one personalized onboarding experience that's run by actual humans. And now it's even easier for you listeners to supercharge your business with Springboard Retail POS. Just visit springboardretail.com/retail doc and you'll receive 20% off your first year. Now back to the show. So how could we encourage some of those people out there who are listening today? who might have a legacy system and it works fine. I actually remember speaking to some people one time and they said, we don't want to know the data because then we'd know how much shrink it was. And I was like, that is really the wrong way to look at this. Right. It's like, I want to put my head in the sand and whatever's left, I'm happy with. Right. So,
yeah, I think it's daunting for people to see their numbers for the first time. I think if you start really digging into your business, it could be a very emotional process because you've run your business a certain way for so long. And I think one of the things that ends up being very shocking for anybody new who comes onto my team at Springboard is how emotional the actual onboarding process is for clients. I mean, these businesses are there. They're so personal and they're part of their livelihood and they're typically often part of their families. And the whole process is just so wildly emotional that changing a system in general and learning more about your own business, that whole bundle is it's an emotional experience. But I encourage people to do their research. And if you think a system is going to change your business, don't be scared of it.
It's like going into the fitting room for the first time. Like, oh, my pants have all shrunk. Well, maybe not.
Exactly.
Maybe the mirror is a little bit less kind. And then what kind of things makes a full-featured POS system better than legacy systems? Because you brought up a very good point. A lot of people still work in Excel spreadsheets and then, you know, download and try to match to whatever it was. And the category reports aren't, well, they're not really all there. There's, you know, some of them are over here and some are here. So what does that actually, I mean, obviously I think it saves you time, but what else as a merchandiser and as a store manager, what other benefits could you get from that?
Well, I think in this day and age, there's no reason to not have full transparency, especially if you're a multi-location business. I think having the ability to see your numbers, your inventory, kind of the movement of your inventory, the sales of certain reps of yours, like across the entire business as a whole. You should be able to see things at a store level, but you should be able to see things at a company level as well. Even if you just have two stores, that becomes incredibly powerful because that empowers you to then move your product around properly so that you have, you know, higher turnover. You have things that aren't moving to the sale room just because one location is going to do better with it than another location. So I think transparency across your business is easily one of the biggest things people should be striving for.
That's a great point too, because invariably you get John who loves this one item, sells the crud out of it in one location. Mm-hmm. The other location's like, I don't know why they sell it. That stuff's the ugliest stuff mm-hmm. ever. You don't have time necessarily. You probably could get John to convince them somehow, but out of 10,000 SKUs, you're not necessarily going to know it. So instead you say, oh, it's not selling here. You put it on sale in that store. And the one that it's already selling on, you put it on sale, you clear out, you say, oh, it was great, except that you could have made more money if you just moved the merchandise, yeah. If you just known that. Isn't that the key?
If you just packed it up and gave all that merchandise that nobody has no idea how to sell to John, he could just plow through it at location A, then your margin on that item was so much greater.
And that's ultimately how you pay for a great POS system, I think. That's ultimately, people always say, well, what's my ROI on this? Well, the ROI based on giving you back hours in your day, and even though the onboarding might be a little scary, to have that full transparency for you to be able to say, hey, that's the best way we can do this. And then you can also order, have that in line with your online shop to buy online, pick up in store. You got full transparency of inventory. And I do think that shrink is a big thing most people don't look at, that, you know, merchandise, we're supposed to get 24 units. Nobody really checks it, really 20 arrive. And then you end up looking and you have 10 in your store and you're like, well, where did that happen? And it just starts to say, oh, we have to improve our processes. You know, that's the whole thing with data, right? It isn't that it's bad or good. It's that it helps you navigate how to be a more profitable business.
Yep. I think almost every subject we end up teaching in onboarding ends up relating to best practices for loss prevention, because that's such a huge part of what retailers are dealing with, even if they don't realize how much they're dealing with it. Every workflow has holes in it that allows errors. I mean, we're humans. There's going to be data errors. But that's lost product and that's lost money. So loss prevention's so huge.
Yeah. I would agree. So do you have any advice, anything specific you would say for retail owners in general?
Well, that's a lot.
Not just about POS system. And you don't have 8 hours. So
any advice?
Any top three things you might say to a retailer?
Well, I know things are just in general right now. I think things are we're in a scarier time. I think retailers are inherently optimistic people. I don't think people venture into retail because they're pessimistic beings. They want to be around people. They want to make things more beautiful. They want to make things more efficient for people. I think that maintaining your optimism, you have to kind of reconnect to why you went into retail to continue to be successful. I think some of the things we're seeing right now, I have this amazing client that we recently onboarded in New York. She runs, she has kids stores, and the minute the news started spreading with coronavirus, she's like, if my stores close, I'm going to be online. So she is putting her feelers out in every single creative outlet she can. And in like no time, she's already like building a website to maximize the fact that she's going to have time off of her floor. And it's such a positive way of going into something that feels so daunting and so scary.
Yeah.
And it's the right attitude. And I think we have to kind of reconnect to that attitude because that's why we're here. That's why we all joined retail.
I honestly believe retailers can make the world a better place by the people working and shopping in retail. That's what we do. I mean, I love that idea about we're inherently optimistic. Nobody gets in retail. I bet no one will buy any of this. I bet this is the ugliest stuff ever. I bet I'm going to lose my shirt. Yeah. People don't do that when they open a bar, restaurant, or something, right? That's like we are planning for the future. And I always say, imagine on 9/11, none of us could even imagine a 9/12. That wasn't even possible. And the things that were coming out to us like, oh, we've known these guys were out there for a while. And yeah, there's a whole, like our eyes got opened. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what we're going through is understanding that, oh, okay, so there's a lot of ways we can get sick, but we're in this together. And I don't want to dwell on that. Tell me something good about retail.
Something good. Well, I think we've been only talking about good things about retail.
I know. I was going to say, do you have anything else to add? Because honestly, you're just a great guest and I love your attitude about retail. And you've been really helpful talking about training and certainly how a great POS system like Springboard Retail can help a retailer. And I appreciate you helping us sponsor our season this time. But more importantly, just any final thoughts about, what else that you might say?
I mean, final thoughts, I just want to encourage people to, if you feel like you do have a hole in your business, obviously, I think Springboard is a wonderful product to kind of plug a lot of those gaps that people feel that we often feel are just kind of part of the business. But just I encourage people to do research. There are so many wonderful tools out there to get your name out. There's so many different, omnichannel options to sell, to never stop being creative and don't get complacent with what you've got. There's always room to grow.
I think that's perfect. And how can we find out more about Springboard Retail POS?
Well, we have some really fun avenues. We actually, we're putting a post out about all of the digital housekeeping that you can do if you are stuck at home. So things that retailers can actually do. So our team is working on that right now, which is very exciting. I think there's going to be some actual housekeeping things you could do while you're at home, spring clean the store maybe. But you can find us at springboardretail.com. Wonderful resources there. Connect with some really wonderful people on my team, on the sales team, find out a little bit more about us. And there are links to our social media accounts and our blog posts. So even if you just end up, reading about what to do if you're stuck without clients for the next few weeks and how to maximize your time.
It's great. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks again to my guest, Danielle Ewert. I enjoyed speaking about how POS systems can help with loss prevention. The idea that there are holes in business processes that lead to lost merchandise, which can be found in a good POS system. Well, that's really important. On next week's episode, I'll be speaking with Dan Hodges of Retail Store Tours. As somebody who leads brick and mortar store tours in the US, Asia, and Europe, he'll share the 5 things he notices in those retailers who are succeeding at physical retail. You won't want to miss it. I'm Bob Phibbs, the Retail Doctor. Thanks for listening.
Tell Me Something Good About Retail is the podcast of the Retail Doctor. Visit RetailDoc.com to learn what makes Bob Phibbs the authority on brick-and-mortar retail across the world, who works with some of the biggest brands all the way down to the smallest mom-and-pops. As a listener of the Tell Me Something Good About Retail podcast, you can receive free information and guides when you visit RetailDoc.com and sign up for our exclusive weekly newsletter. For more information, to access the complete archives of past retail goodness, and to see about Bob speaking to your audience, please visit RetailDoc.com.